Live, good morning to you as well. My name is Pastor Rob, and I'm excited to be here and continue to go through God's Word. We're in a sermon series called The Center, and the center of all things is Jesus. And so that's what we continue to look at. And if you're new this morning, welcome. You don't need to have gone through every sermon series. You can jump right in. And this morning, we will look at Mark 1:35 again. We looked at it last week, and it's one of these verses that causes us just to pause, just as Jesus did. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you don't, you can find one of our big blues right in front of you, and you can flip there to Mark chapter 1, or we will have it up on the screen for you. But as we're flipping there, what a neat video sharing of, as we're looking at prayer, how this young man had prayed and his family had prayed, and he saw that God was real and God answers prayer. What a neat testimony how God continues to work. And so we have a neat opportunity to be a part of that Operation Christmas Child and bless young children by giving a physical gift and a spiritual gift of giving them the good news about Jesus. These boxes aren't just little gifts alone. They are gifts that bless them, but they're also come with the teaching about Jesus. And that's where we're focusing on. Our teaching this morning is the center, and the center of all things, and the joy where we find our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so let's read his word in Mark 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And I'm going to pause right there, and we're going to talk about this, because last week we mentioned, to catch you up if you weren't here, we can quickly read through the Bible. It's one simple verse, and we can just say, well, Jesus spent time praying, and actually in the original language, Jesus got up early, and it connotes that he was praying for a long period of time. And so we can quickly read that and just say, okay, what's the next verse? But Jesus stopped and prayed. Communication with the Father was key for Jesus. Think about that in any healthy relationship, a marriage with children. What's key? Communication is key. If we're not communicating, relationships will die. And so Jesus understands this, and Jesus' core to who Jesus is in constant communication with God the Father. And so we see that in Jesus' life. And so really, as we look at our lives and what our calling is, that we are all called on a mission. We are all called to go in a direction in life. But the reality is we all end up somewhere. Yet very few of us actually plan where we want to be. And that shows just in our society. And when we think about the future, study after study shows that we often don't think about the future and we just spend for the now. In our finances, in retirement. And I saw a study the other day that only 45% don't save at all for retirement. Now, I'm not pushing retirement or anything like that, but I think it shows that we think and we live in the now, and we don't think much about the future. You and I, we are all going to go somewhere. We're going to end up somewhere in life. But would you like to go in that direction with kind of the guidance and the care of the Creator of the universe? You have a purpose. And so where we find our purpose is in God. And so we're going to explore that today. How do we find what our mission is? How do we find what our life vision should be? So we're going to explore that here this morning and look at it. So our first thing that we see is Jesus spent time praying here, but we don't exactly know what Jesus prayed. But we have other clues inside of Scripture of where Jesus prays, and they're fascinating. Last week, we looked a little bit at John 17 and encouraged some of you to look at that. And if you haven't, remind you again to go and read Jesus' prayer to the Father in John 17. And so we see that picture, but we also see one that we really looked at, and And here in this service, we got to sing the Lord's Prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to flip over to Matthew 6. And Jesus says this. He says, this then... let us get there a little bit. I'm getting excited. Sorry. Matthew 6, verse 9. So Jesus begins to teach a little bit how to pray. And this is good because we see that Jesus spent time, lots of time in prayer. So we need to understand, well, how do we do it ourselves? So Jesus tells us, he tells his disciples here in verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Yes, plain and simple, right? This is how we should do it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, the message is in Fullerton as it is in heaven. In Fullerton as it is in heaven. And if you live in our surrounding communities, I just couldn't make the title that long. In Brea, Placentia, in La Habra. I haven't forgot about you guys. Anaheim, we're all here. But that would be a really long title. So we had to pick where we're at, the heart and the hub of it here in Fullerton. But in Fullerton, as it is in heaven. And so last week we looked and we were reminded of the Father's love for his children. That we approach God as, and last week so many of us raised our hand and said that, hey, we don't have it all together in prayer. That if you're new here, you've entered into a group of people that say, hey, we don't pray like we should, but we want to. And we can come to God as our Father and realize, man, we're just like a child with a scraped knee, and we just, Dad, could you help me? Dad, I'm just crying out to you, and we understand the Father's love for us, even in our mistakes, even in our weaknesses. And at the same time, we also have the blessing of the Father. We talked about how we can come, there's only one person that can interrupt a king or a president, and it's a young child, their own son or daughter, how they can come to the king or the president and say, Dad, I need this. Would you do this for me? And so that's how we come to God as our Father. But what we need as we look at this, and we see this, we have to see that prayer really is an alignment. If you're taking notes, that prayer is an alignment of our wills to God's. Prayer is an alignment of our wills to God's. And really, I think this was a good analogy. I was speaking to another pastor earlier this week, and he had suffered from a skiing accident. He had broken his collarbone and had messed up some of his spine, and so he was just suffering through excruciating pain and was having trouble preaching and was just really suffering and praying. But through a lot of just physical therapy and going to the chiropractor, he noticed when he first went to the chiropractor, the chiropractor would just adjust him and his whole spine just, you know, just like those little poppers. That's what he said. It's just like my spine would just pop and it would feel good afterwards, but I'd have to go a couple days later and get readjusted. He says, now my pain, it isn't completely gone, but as I keep going, I find he'll pop me or, you know, I don't know, chiropractors are like judo, you know, just like snap necks. I don't know how they, scares me sometimes. But he says they do that and there's no popping. And he says, now my spine is starting to get more in alignment. And that's really what prayer is like. It's an alignment for our souls. Even a good guitar needs to be tuned. We constantly need to be tuned. And so that's what Jesus does. He goes and says, this is what I need. I need to be aligned. And Jesus doesn't need anything himself, but he models that we get out of alignment and that we need to be aligned by the Father. And so as we see, even Jesus, here's a verse I love as Jesus prays in Mark 14:36. If we could pull that up. Jesus says this, he says, and there it is again, Abba. This word, the Aramaic phrase, it's, we don't have an exact word for it, but it's like dad or daddy. And so Jesus shows us that we can call out to God, not just because for so long, so many people had cried out to God just simply as Yahweh, Yod Heh Vad Heh, which are the Hebrew letters for God, for Yahweh, these letters that they use, and they wouldn't even include the vowels because they didn't want people to read it and speak his name without reverence. And so, or it was Adonai, Lord, and power. There was so much use. The Old Testament, there was always this connotation of God as powerful and mighty and Yahweh holy. And then the New Testament comes and Jesus cries out to him as Father. Now the question is, did God change? No, God doesn't change. The scriptures say that God is always the same. Yet, what changes is that Jesus comes and Jesus begins to bring the kingdom, and he now shifts things where we can approach God as Father because of what he's going to do on the cross. And so that's what we see. That's why there's a shift in Jesus crying out to God as Father. But he says this, everything is possible for you. As he's about and prefacing this prayer, he's going to the cross. So God had been God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in constant communion throughout eternity. And Jesus is going to the cross to pay for the sins of the universe. And because he's paying for your sin and my sin, he has to be separated from God. And that's why he says, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? He took your punishment and my punishment for sin, which the Bible says is death. And so he takes that punishment and he goes to the cross and he bears all of our sin. And as he's about to present this to God, he says, God, if there's any other way, take this from me. Now, does he doubt God or is he doubting the situation? No. But he knows the pain from being separated from God. The joy that Jesus has had for eternity with the Father, and he's now going to be separated for a moment because of our sin that he bore on the cross. And so, but he says this, and this is what I love in his prayer. He says, yet not what I will, Jesus being in the flesh, but your will be done. Jesus submitted to the Father and says, your will be done. And that's really what our prayers are. Have you noticed this sometimes tends to be my prayer life? The prayer is, as Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he goes on to give us this day what our daily bread. I tend to say, Father, bread. Do you guys do that? Am I alone? Father, this job. Father, stress. Father, this. And that's what our prayer life tends to be like. Yet, sometimes we can say, well, prayer really is an aspect of faith, that we're stepping out and asking God for something, but Jesus prefaces this and saying, God, not my will. Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. And that's what I love about the Lord's Prayer. We can ask God, yes, God wants us to ask for bread, need for jobs, for sick, for hungry, for the poor, for what's going on, you're struggling, what you're wrestling with in life. You can cry out to God for these things. Yet, we preface it, and really the vision should be God's will and God's kingdom. And if these needs don't fit that, we have to trust that things will still be okay and that God will always take care of us. That's the promise. If we are grounded, as we were talking about last week, Father, if we remember that he's Father, he's not going to abandon us, so we can say, your will be done. Your will be done, Father, because I know you care about me and I know you care about your children, and so I can release that and let that go. So as we pray and God seems to align us, may he align us to our hearts, to his heart and to his soul. I thought this was a neat story I wanted to share from our own community. And we had a couple here at Wilshire that was just continuing to pray and praying and responding to God's word. And even one of the quotes, to quote the spouse, she said, "Rob, it's your dang sermons." Said God was speaking to me. And so I love that. It made me laugh. The dang sermons that were getting to me and causing me, as we talked about, Jesus going to the other side. How, and the disciples talking about how Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You feed them. And so this was meditating. These words were in their thoughts and in their prayers. And so they were seeing, they were brought, their daughter had brought a need to their attention. That one of her friends was working a job but struggling and was actually living in a car. Was trying to make ends meet and just didn't have enough to make rent. And was struggling and struggling. And so this couple, after prayer, said, you know what? No, that's not right. And so they cleared out their son's old room and said, we don't need to have this all together. And so they prayed about it. Because there's inconveniences that come because they said, well, should we invite her to stay with us? Because there's inconveniences that come with that of having a tenant in your house. Or even the possibility we can use that for rent and make good money off of that. And so they prayed about it and they had their life group pray for them. But they heard God clearly say, you take care of her. Sometimes that's prayer, right? Prayer, we do this in prayer. We ask and we pray and all these things. But God's telling, we know what we're supposed to do and it's right in front of us. That has been actually my prayer for the past 3 weeks. God, open my eyes and allow me to do exactly what you want me to do. Allow me just to listen to your little voice when you tell me, hey, show this person kindness. Show this person love. Take care of this person. That has been my prayer. And so it was so neat to see a family say, you know what? Yeah, there's going to be some inconvenient aspects about bringing somebody in, but it's not right that this young woman is living in her car. So come and stay in our home. Come be fed. Come receive God's love. What a beautiful picture of the kingdom. As God says, there are many rooms in my house. And if there weren't, I would tell you. Jesus said, there are so many rooms here. And Jesus invites us in to his house. And what a beautiful picture as this couple got to welcome this young woman into their house. And part of that is by being aligned in prayer and seeking God and hearing his word. Because when you pray, what starts to come out of your mouth and your lips is scripture you've been reading. Those dang sermons, and you can't get that annoying pastor out of your head. I know, he drives me nuts. But those moments, that's how what the Spirit works in our hearts as we pray and aligns our soul and aligns us to kind of get back to God. Prayer, another aspect of prayer is that it brings the kingdom here on earth. Prayer brings the kingdom here. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:7 says this. You don't have to flip there. We'll have it on the screen. It says, seek the peace. This is God speaking. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You too will prosper. Pray what? For the prosperity and the peace of the city. So we are to pray for the well-being of our city. Our job is to pray that the homeless are fed, the hungry are fed, that the people without hope would have hope and would have life. Our goal is, if you consider yourself a Christian, what we're called to, our mission, where God wants us to go is to pray for our city and to pray that things go well in our city, in our surrounding communities. So do you know that that is part of your mission if you follow God, to pray for the prosperity of the city? And if it goes well, if the city's doing well, guess what? There's an extra blessing. You do well. Not that we do it for the blessing, but God wants to take care of his children. So he says, pray for the blessing. Pray for the physical, the peace, and the prosperity. So there's a physical blessing, but also we're called in scriptures that there's a spiritual blessing. And we see that in Matthew, and even John mentions that the harvest, he mentions that the harvest is ripe in John 4. He mentions that what the harvest is that it's those coming to eternal life. There's a joy that you and I get to have, and that joy is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And the greatest joy that you and I can have is Jesus. Because he enters into our life, and it, just as we were talking about the forgiveness of sins, how he washes our life and our sins and our mistakes, wipes us clean, and brings us into the Father's house to be with our God, our Creator, our Father, and get to be with him in heaven. There is no greater joy. And so that's what our mission is. And really, if you look at Jesus, from the beginning, when he steps onto the scene, his first, as he would call his disciples, he said the very first thing to him. Do you know what he said to him? He said, come, and I will make you fishers of men. I will draw you in to, I want you to draw others in to my kingdom. I want you to bring people in because I want them to know how crazy I am about them, how much I love my children. And he gave that mission at the beginning of his ministry, and when he goes in Matthew 28, he goes and says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. He's saying that is our mission, is to go and teach and to go and share. But really, what we get to do as we're bringing God's kingdom here, when we pray, we actually get to see and experience and see God's goodness here. Do some of you remember the hymn that, how does it go? I'm losing it at the top of my head. That I may see Jesus. Has anyone got me? No? Drawing blanks? My eyes? Yes, yes. Someone say that again? Yes. Yes. For Wilshire Live, if you couldn't hear it, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Reach out and touch. Yep. One of the joys that we have as Christians, that we get to allow people to see Jesus. Let me share this story. There was a businessman who had, he was running off to catch a train, and he had all of his books, and he had everything with him, and he had this important meeting to get to. And he sees the train that, you know, the conductors are whistling and starting to get in. They're closing the doors. And he's, you know, about 100 yards away. And he's running to them. And he's like, I got to catch this train. If not, I'm going to miss this meeting, miss this business opportunity, and it could be lost. And in between him and the door was a little boy carrying a bunch of apples as he was trying to sell them. And some of you might have heard this story before. And so he just ends up, doesn't see the boy because the boy's shorter than he is, maybe, you know, just waist height, and just plows into him. Apples go falling, and he just keeps going. And he looks back, and he's hearing the apples roll, and he stops and goes, he looks at the train, it's almost start to move, and he just goes back, and he helps the boy, and he picks him up, and he says, you know what, he's just picking up the apples. And you know, this is more important than that business deal. I'm not crushing this little boy's business, his hopes, his dreams. And so he's just, you know, are you okay, son? And he's taking care of him. And the little boy looks up to him and just says, Mister, he says, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus? And so the man, he's like, you know, if you only knew my heart, I'm not Jesus. But we have the opportunity in every moment, in small little interactions with people, we get to show them Jesus' love. We get to show them God's love. That even in our mistakes, we get to show them that God cares about them and loves them. And so we have an opportunity to bring it, to bring Jesus, that we get to see Jesus, but we have the opportunity for our community, for our city to see Jesus. And sometimes we don't allow Jesus to come here because we simply sometimes don't ask. Jesus and James, or in James 4:2, the scriptures say that we don't have because we don't ask. We don't have because we don't ask. We get on the second half of the verse, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. In prayer, we actually get to be a part of God's kingdom and allow it to come here. So God's word says, you don't have it because you don't ask. You and I get to change things by praying. Isn't that neat? That we get to be a part of God's plan by praying. You don't have because you don't ask. Our city isn't thriving. Maybe we're not asking enough. People aren't coming to see Jesus. We've got plenty more seats here to come and hear about God's love. Maybe we need to start asking and praying. We sometimes think too small. Grandma, when she comes to town, my little daughter gets spoiled by grandma. And grandma comes and always buys her toys and clothes. You know, sometimes they go to the store. And what she says is, grandma's coming. So grandma comes to town and my little daughter's like, she's here. And grandma says, we're going to go shopping. What do you want? And Ellie gets all excited and she says, socks. And I'm like, socks? You could have asked for a new swing set, clothes, you know, all of it. You want socks? I'm like, man, grandma wants to, and I'm not saying this to her, I'm like, and grandma's like, we'll get you socks. Okay, a little weird. You know, looking at dad like, you don't buy her socks? I'm like, I don't know, you know. But it made me think, it's like sometimes, man, the whole kingdom's open to us by the Father. And we just ask, God, I want socks. I'll give you socks. You can have socks. But man, what if we were praying for that? Lastly, looking at our last point, that Jesus' mission is our mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. And the reason I have the word our, because in the Lord's Prayer, you will notice there isn't a personal pronoun. It isn't my Father. You see it? Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray. Christianity is not just about one person. Christianity is a team sport. We get to follow God together. We get to cry out to him together. He's our dad. When you trust and put your hope and faith in Jesus, that you get the opportunity to say, this is our dad. And that's how we become united. And that's what our story is. And so when Jesus says to come to follow me, we get to follow him as a community, and we get to follow him. His word says that we can trust him and that he looks out for us. But what would our city look like if we began to be a praying people? If we dreamed big and would ask God for big things in our city? If we would ask God for people to know those that are hopeless, that are struggling and in pain, that they would have the hope of God, that they would know that they are loved by the Father, what would our city look like if we prayed for them? What if we prayed for our church, and as we talked about in previous weeks, that God uses the church as a distribution plan to share God's love with his people, to gather them in, to let them know he loves them? And so God uses the church. What would it look like if we prayed for the church constantly and crying out to him? You know, sharing this last story. A few weeks ago, as I had mentioned, my prayer was that God opened my eyes and I just want to be obedient to whatever you're doing. And so I'd shared this with some people and staff, and they had encouraged me to share this story. The other night, it was about a week or two ago, and I felt like after praying that prayer, God woke me up in the middle of the night. It was about 3, 4 a.m. And I heard him say, I want you to go and pray. I want you to go down to this church. I want you to go downtown and walk around the city and pray. And so I said, no, God, it's 4 a.m. in the morning. And so I was arguing with God. And he said, no, I want you to go and pray. I'm like, God, well, I'm wrestling. And so as I'm sharing this, I want you to know this isn't look how great Rob is, because, man, I was wrestling with God. I didn't want to go, but I heard him say, Rob, go to downtown. And I was like, well, it's dangerous, God. He says, I'm there. Oh, right, you're there. Okay, I'll be okay. So I wake up, and my wife wakes up and is like, what are you doing? I didn't tell her I was going to go walk around downtown. I said, I'm going to the church to pray. And she said, all right, you know, I'm going back to bed. See ya. And so I began to walk around. And as I'm walking out, I was like, well, you know, I can just get an early morning exercise and just jog around our facility and knock this thing out in a minute or two. But I heard God said, I want you to walk. I want you to walk and pray. Why walk? Because realizing that I can't run and I can't accomplish what God wants to accomplish. But by walking, showing that God is the one who acts, that God is the one who is powerful. And so I began to walk and pray, and really the one thing I heard God saying is, Rob, I love that you're doing this, but we need our community praying. We need our people praying for this church, praying for the campus across the street. This opportunity we have to share God's love with so many in our city, that we can open up these doors even more. And so he said, I want you to invite others to praying. You can't do this alone. You can't. And so I'm not telling everyone, hey, you got to get up at 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. We're not doing that. Don't worry, you're safe. Okay? There isn't, and please, at 3 or 4 a.m. isn't a more holy time. If we start to get in that game's stupid. Right? Praying is praying, and so whatever time you're praying, my encouragement is that we would be a people that cry out to God. That we would say, God, if we're going to see peace and see prosperity and see the hope of Jesus in this church, it's going to be by your power and by your strength. So my invitation is that you would come and be a people of prayer. We're going to actually pray. At Wilshire Live, you can pass out those little sheets, and you can pass that, and that will guide this prayer time. After we pray, we're going to, well, let me pray for us, and then what we're going to do is pray. How's that sound? Sound good? Let's pray. Father, we right now, we pray for the prosperity of this city. We pray that we would follow you in our lives. You have called us, Lord, on a mission, and that mission is to share your love, Lord. As we pray, our hearts and our minds get aligned to your will. What a joy it is that we get to bring your kingdom here on earth. Father, we ask that you would open up our eyes, free things from our lives that are holding back us simply showing others Jesus, loving those who are in our path, taking care of those who are hurting and in need. Lord, may we cry out to you for this city, the God that loves this city and cares for your people. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.